Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, geeks.
Welcome to another edition of It's All Geek to Me. I am your plucky host, M.
And I'm your coasting through life host, Kate, at the moment.
See, that just makes me think of Wicked, and now I want to sing
coasting through life. That's dancing through life.
I know, but now you could change it. It could be coasting through life.
You know what? Maybe that will be my new theme song. I'm just tired. Today's two show day, and we had a show last night, so I'm just a little sleepy.
Aww.
But you know, the
but woes. Guys, she's braving it out to be here with you.
Yes, recording on location in a dressing room. It's so classy.
Class-tastic.
I know. I have class. So we are here to bring you your Week in Geek, you guys. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of news. Oh, my goodness.
There was a bunch of stuff this week.
So much, including the fact that apparently, in secret last night, Benedict Cumberbatch got married.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Yep. I literally was sitting in the green room during, I think, Act 2, and one of the stage managers goes, huh, Benedict Cumberbatch got married last night, and I went, that wouldn't surprise me, especially after what Zach Levi pulled on us last year. And I
took that as a personal affront, by the way.
I did take that very personally. But I hopped on the interwebs, and it's true. But it wasn't as, like, clandestine as everyone's making it out to be. Like, it was planned. They were just secretive about it. Because he was married, and, like, it was, like, this big chapel. It's been a big year for The Batch, let me tell you something.
It's been the year of The Batch.
You got engaged, you're procreating, you got married, you're nominated for everything because you are in everything.
Valid.
It's a very good year for The Batch.
It's been 2 years. It's carrying over from last year.
If you think, yeah. If you want to get technical, it's 2 years. But.
Sometimes I do want to get technical.
I know. But anyway, why don't we delve into the land of TV? The Walking Dead came back.
Woohoo!
With a bang.
I got to watch it in real time.
No, I didn't. I watched it on Monday. But what a punch in the face this episode was, man. Oh my goodness.
You know, I feel like you were way more emotional about this episode than I was.
I used to put up a front that I was not a sap. I am such a sap.
Well, so, for The Walking Dead, you are.
For a lot of shows, I am. But The Walking Dead in particular, I really loved, which P.S. you guys, if you've not watched last week's episode of The Walking Dead, spoilers.
Yeah, it's a given.
It's a given with our show.
Except we're usually a week behind on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, so. We're a week behind on most things. So Tyrese has left us. And unlike every other character that leaves the Walking Dead realm, quitter, you're mean. But unlike every other character who leaves the Walking Dead realm, it's like you're dead halfway to three quarters of the way through the episode, and then it ends and it's over.
When you die, you're dead.
Yeah, like everyone else. This was an entire episode devoted to basically saying goodbye to Tyrese. And I was just like, I can't with this. I did, however, have a moment of excitement when the governor shows up in his hallucinations. And I was very excited to see David Morrissey, I'm not going to lie.
And who wasn't?
But I watched The Talking Dead afterwards, and they talked about how they had to, that whole set of the house and everything, they had to build on a soundstage and all that because they had to secretively get those cast members in there without people knowing. I was like, okay. You guys are smart. But I thought that was really an interesting, poetic way to go. Like, those are characters that he started to get close to, the two little girls and the dude that he beat the crap out of. Not necessarily the governor, but he was ready to follow the governor. So it was just, the way that he went.
An interesting point is Karen wasn't there.
No, Karen was not there. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. That could have been timing, too. It could have been scheduling. Like, maybe they wanted her to be there, and it was.
Yeah. He said it was, Chad Coleman said it probably was scheduling.
Yeah.
One of the interviews. But, I don't know, like, I didn't really really care for this episode.
I did.
Obviously. I know you did. I know you had a whole mushy reaction to it. I sort of,
I think it must be the way that they did it. In the time I was in it,
I was like, oh hell no, like this is happening. But like looking back on it, not one of my favorite episodes. It kind of just was.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a favorite episode. Whenever a character dies, it emotionally
impacted you more so than me. I was like, well,
you also are heartless, and I am a huge sap. There is a difference.
Well, it is true that I am heartless, but I did powwow with other people to see if I was the only heartless person, and I got the response from a coworker like, no, I wasn't really that upset. I mean, boo, he's off the show, but at the same time, like, meh. And I was like, you and I are going to be friends.
So, yeah, I mean, we could waste more time on The Walking Dead. But anyway, it's back. Tyrese is gone. We got a little visit from the grave. What?
I knew he was going to get kicked off. He was too in the metropolitan area. He was in New York a lot.
I know. You kept saying that, that he'd been in New York a lot.
He'd been in New York a lot, and then suddenly during this episode, like, as soon as they showed the little zombie boy, like, behind him, I was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
You know the part about it that was, I think, for me so heart-wrenching is, like, they knew that you could cut a limb off and save the person, because they did it with Herschel.
Right, I don't think he knew, though.
I'm not sure if Tyrese knew or not, but at the same time, how are you going to hack your own arm off? There's a whole weird Saw moment you could have right there, but
well, true. But also, I was thinking about this. I had a discussion with the boy. I was like, I don't think he knew that,
huh?
Because he was with the governor,
right?
Then, and I'm like right before the governor attacks, correct?
I think.
So at this point, Herschel's already been delegged. You're not going to ask an old man, like, hey, what happened to your leg, sir? He also had a prosthetic at that point, so it wouldn't be weird to think that before all this happened, he did not have a leg.
Agreed.
So it's not really something that comes up in conversation. So I don't know if technically he knew, not that he would have done anything to, like, cut his own arm off, but I don't know that he knew that was even an option.
That's not where I was going to go with that thought. Like, I agree with you. Like, he might not have known that that was an option. And then the other side of it is, how do you cut your own arm off? Like, right. Without looking at the Saw movies, how do you cut your own arm off?
So, right. No, I wasn't saying that was the only thought you were thinking. I was just saying, in addition to your thought.
Yeah. But where I was going to go with it was, the group of them knew that you could save someone by chopping off the limb after the zombie bite. But the thing that Herschel had going for him is he was at the prison and they could cut it off and cauterize it right away.
Correct.
So what ultimately really, I think, killed Tyrese was he bled out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an epic bummer. However, not as bad of a death as Andrea's.
No.
I can't with that character. But
she was, no, that was her, she died of her own fault.
Yeah, but Andrea should never have gone out that way. As much as I hated her and clamored for her death for 2 seasons, she never should have gone out that way. But Tyrese...
But how would she have gone out? Like, I don't know, she was just stupid. The entire time he's like, please hurry, I can't stay non-zombied forever. And she's like stopping what she's doing to carry on a conversation. I mean, come on, girl.
That's why I'm saying she wouldn't have gone out like that. Like, the way they wrote it was just... I didn't care for it at all.
I was more upset about Milton being killed than her.
Yeah, Milton was a cool character.
I was so devastated when he was like, I'm going to turn into a zombie. I'm like, no! I was really upset.
I mean, I was upset about her death in terms of that it was stupid. Tyrese... It worked, and it's just further proof that no one is safe on this show. I'm sad to see him go. I really like the character.
But also, I'm kind of annoyed at him because if he had just paid attention, he would have known there was another kid in the house. Because in the car, Noah says, "We're going back to find my mother and my two brothers." He said two brothers. And then instead of going to see what else is going on, Tyrese is like, "Let me stare at these photos. Oh, there is another brother. Oh, ow, dead." Like, come on.
Oh, ow, dead. If only it had been that quick.
Keep your guard up, sir. That's a rookie mistake. You mean to tell me that you fought off a horde of zombies with your hammer, which you should have died at that moment when they get swarmed in the car.
Yep.
Right after it comes out. Like, he should have died there. The fact that he, like, thwarted all of them when he was overrun. But then, just standing, staring at a photograph, a small child zombie gets the jump on him. Come on, folks.
Well, homie ain't buying it.
Homie, don't play that way.
I'm just sad to see his character go. I feel like they grew his character so much in the last season to have it end this way was just such a bummer.
I'm not saying they have a max number of African-American men allowed to be on the show.
But they do have a pattern.
There's a pattern. I mean, as soon as we got Priesty, Bob had to die, which I was totally fine with because I hated Bob. But then
yes, your hate of Bob was so uncalled for.
No, I hate Bob. Bob got that guy killed. That guy who looked like he was going to provide comic relief got killed.
Beth's boyfriend.
Yes. I don't even know what his name was. It doesn't matter. He was going to give us comic relief.
I don't remember his name either. I hear you.
He was going to give us comic relief, and then he got killed because of Bob. And then they almost got killed like three other times because of things Bob was doing. And I was like, nope, Bob, I am not on your team, sir.
Okay, well, The Walking Dead is back. We've lost another character, and we'll see what happens next week. Moving on.
Now we're stuck with useless Noah, who's limping. And
oh, for the love of Pete. Oh. Anywho, why don't we move on and talk about Face Off, which I didn't, again, had a hard time paying attention to this week.
It's so difficult.
I hate to say it, I'm kind of not feeling even tuning in next week. Because I'm bored with it.
So remind us what this week's challenge was, my dear.
What was this week's challenge? They gave the contestants a sound, and they had to create a character based on the sound. So the girls who won had kind of a mechanical clock sound, and they turned their character like into a mechanical kind of doll with a clock face on her chest, and she's like the wife of a clockmaker and whatever. It was cute. It won. As soon as it walked
whatever.
As soon as it walked out on stage, I pegged it as the winner as well, and I really, really liked it. There were a couple of big bombs that the judges didn't like. I remember V Neil not being happy about a couple of things. The girl that got sent home, whose name I forget, was pretty cool looking chick, and I kind of liked her work so far. And even they said to her, like, we look forward to seeing you in the future and in the professional field and all this stuff. But this is my point with the whole thing. We both watched it. We should know characters. We should have favorite characters at this point. Favorite contestants at this point in a season of Face Off, and we are both like, whatever, that just happened.
Like that chick, you know, the chick, not the guy, the chick.
Like, I hate to do it, but I almost feel like we need to give up Face Off and see if they give us some time off before we get another season. It's two things I love. It's reality. Well, I don't really love reality TV, but it's a reality competition and it's special effects makeup. Cool. Let's go.
I mean,
but I really think it's oversaturation. We were saying this last week. I think it's just oversaturation, and we've had it. So we've kicked off another contestant, and Em and I may not be watching sci-fi next week. Let's talk about more fun things, if we can call it a fun thing. Let's talk about Arrow.
Sure.
You're like, sure? Did you watch it?
Oh, hell yeah. I watched it in real time this week because my plans got canceled. And I mean, yet, I was a little sad that my plans got canceled, but at the same time, as soon as they did, my first thought was Arrow.
I, of course, did not get to watch it in real time. I never do. But it was my I didn't watch it Thursday morning. I watched it when I got to work on Thursday while I was doing my prep. But yet again, Arrow made me want to rip my heart out and put it on the counter. The shreds that were left of my heart.
I scream at that show so much
so
now.
So often. And a lot of it is, don't do that, you idiot.
I believe a lot of my series are, not again, Felicity, not again. Every time she consoles Laurel into doing canary things.
I know, and like, I love
you
Felicity.
You have failed the city, Felicity.
You have. I love Felicity, and I'm still aggravated with Laurel's entire existence. And this week, they had a cute little heart-to-heart where Felicity's like, no, you have a light in you. You can do good things. And I'm just like, shut up. Felicity, no. Just step away.
I have to say, though, you know what I'm really jonesing on now? Hmm. Again, it got quelled for a while, but it's back full force in my heart. Thea and Roy.
Oh, yeah. They're rekindling Roy. That a little bit.
Throy is my everything.
Especially after the guy that Thea just slept with tried to kill her.
Oh, Austin Butler, you cat.
I remember seeing tweets that night from some people that we follow that were like, I never trusted that kid. And I was like, wait, who are we talking
revealed.
About?
They already revealed that he was working for the League last episode. Mm-hmm. And the boy and I were talking, and he made a very, very good point. He's like, actually, it would have been, like, so much cooler if they, like, revealed that he was working for the League in this episode so you didn't know.
Yeah, it would have.
Time we're watching that scene, like, he and I are going, what are you doing? No! Whereas, like, if we didn't, I would still be screaming that because, hello, Roy. But... when he saw them walk away together, like, my heart broke.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? He handled that like a champ.
But you know what, though? I want to say, when we were doing We This Week up on the blog, did our Fave Five chips.
Yes.
In honor of Valentine's Day.
What ship will you go down with?
There are many.
There are several.
Well, I put Throy as one of my ships. And one of the reasons is because she broke it off with him, ultimately. And said, I can't be in a relationship with you. And he has done nothing but respect that. Mm-hmm. He's been there for her in the way that you would be there for a friend. And yes, he's still protective of her and he'll stick up for her. But, like, never has he tried to, like force her into another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me so happy because
Roy
he's not
is a good man in the comic book universe.
But, like, you never see that in pop culture.
Well, no, you're right. Not very often.
You never see that in pop culture. There's always like, I'm going to stick around and she's going to take me back. I'm going to make her want me back. Or like,
which is every
you know,
crappy
even
90s
just
movie.
Like the bromance conversation between him and his best friend. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's all about like winning the girl back. It's never like, cool, this is what she wants, but I still want to be in her life. So we need to cherish this relationship, folks. We need to cherish it and have it happen more often because that's how you should treat a lady.
Yep, we don't have many of these going on in the DC universe, let alone the comic
book
universe.
Any universe.
As a whole. Yeah, there aren't very many men like that in real life. If there were, we'd all have one. But I agree with you. He's become, from the drug addict bad boy that he was when we met him, he's really become like a really good man. And I think that influence really is Oliver.
Oh, I love their bromance.
But also Diggle. But Diggle too, like Diggle's a good guy. And even Oliver takes direction from him
Diggle.
Too. So it's...
I mean, really, he's their psychologist.
Yeah, it's a really...
Anytime there's some sort of tension, he'll go up to one of them and be like, listen, we need to talk about this. Every single one of them too. He does it to Ollie, he does it to Felicity, he does it to Roy. The only person he doesn't do that to is Thea. Yet. But now, now that Speedy's gonna be in the cave, because she will be. I'm so excited for that, by the way.
You are very excited. You are very excited. So aside from rekindling your Throy love.
Sounds dirty.
And us yelling at Felicity to tell her not to do something stupid. The other thing of this episode that, like, ripped my heart out was that Laurel, it only took you how long, finally told her father that Sarah
is dead. Oh, my God. Paul
Blackthorne
broke me.
Paul Blackthorne deserves an
award
for this.
He's in, like, one scene the whole episode.
the whole episode. And it's this one scene, and he just, the minute, she doesn't even have to say it. All she says is it's something about Sarah, and she's upset, and he automatically knows.
The brilliant thing is, so we can give him a little more credit, is once he got the idea, like, oh, it's not Sarah, which, to be fair, when he did quote-unquote speak to Sarah, it sounded like her, and I did appreciate that they had her standing far enough away and with backlit so much with so much mist that you couldn't tell the, like, size difference. Because not that Katie Lotz is heavy by any means, but she has more meat on her than Kate Cassidy. They're just shaped different.
They're just built differently.
They're shaped differently.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, when he encountered her, it was, you know, that way. But as soon as he found out it wasn't her, and when Laurel first comes to him, is like, there's something I have to tell you. He goes, oh, come on. You mean to tell me someone running her that isn't your sister? Of course it's you. And I was like, thank you. I'm so happy you know.
He is
a detective. But that doesn't mean he's smart. I mean, he is. Quentin Lance is. But a lot of TV detectives are stupid. So I was so proud of him. And then he finds out. And, like, he broke me with the tears and the, like, aw.
Oh, man. That entire scene was just like, oh, okay, I don't need this heart of mine anymore. Here, you can have it. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh.
They do something every week on that show that makes me...
Shatters me. See, I'm not completely heartless.
You're just heartless where The Walking Dead is concerned. So yeah, Arrow was awesome this week. It's been awesome all season. If you guys are not watching Arrow yet, I've had a couple of people who said that they, you know, started it and they gave up on it, and I give them the whole one, you know, give them season one line. I do the same thing for S.H.I.E.L.D. because a lot of people quit S.H.I.E.L.D. halfway through season one, and God, did it get good during the second half of season
one. Well, my lovely little receptionist at work, my bestie, we do TV recommendations for each other because we're also the two geeks who go to the comic book shop every week and then compare our comics. It's our ritual. But he originally wasn't watching S.H.I.E.L.D., and then I got him watching S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's like, oh, it's so good. And he's still not watching Arrow, but he's watching Flash. And I was like, I don't know. Like, he's seen a couple episodes. I'm like, dude, first season, you got to give it to him. It's okay. Just get through the first season. Second season, balls. Like, that's when it starts to get good. I mean, there are good episodes in the first season. But it wasn't like, oh, I need to watch this now. It was still getting its legs. Like, it definitely had its, like, I'll admit, during the pilot when Moira is in the limo with Barrowman. No, I'm sorry. She's not. That's not. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's the pilot. That was just from one previous. Sorry.
It's not in the pilot.
Where it's revealed that she's the one that had Oliver kidnapped.
Yes. Sort
of like, oh, I really like this show. All of a sudden, it was like, what happened? I need to watch the next one. So it does have those moments. But season one. Apparently my synopsises are summed up in sounds. In onomatopoeias.
Apparently they are. But anyway, you guys, give Arrow a shot. I've had a couple of people agree that they're going to give it another look. Just like we've had a couple of people agree that they're going to give Agent Carter another look, which, if you're not watching this show, you can't sit with us. I'm sorry.
You can't sit with us.
No, I legit mean it the Mean Girls way. Like, you're not watching Agent Carter, you can't sit with us. Goodbye. Cannot sit with us.
Brilliant segue. Let's talk Agent Carter.
This entire series has been awesome, obviously. I'm in love with this show. I'm going to be very, very sad to see it go, as I've said in the past. So this week's episode was a little different than the others because Peggy got caught. So I had huge, like, I love the character of Sousa. And Virgil Khan is just plays such a great character. And he wears a sweater vest like no other. So, they all make jokes about that on Twitter. If you follow them during their live tweets, they make jokes about sweater vests.
Sweater vests.
But the sweater vests. I loved his character because he has a disability, but he doesn't let that change who he is or how he does his job. And I liked his relationship with Peggy. They had kind of more of a friendly colleague thing going on, as opposed to the other men who kind of just look at her as the secretary. So I had high hopes for him. I was like, no, we can use you in a really great capacity somewhere. And then the son of a Butthead had to go and figure out that the person that they're trying to find, this blonde woman, is actually Peggy, based on the bullet scars on her shoulder. You really? I had such high hopes for you, dude. Really.
But also, can we just...
And then he has to go tell his boss. Can we give
props for realizing it from that?
Oh, yes. I will give him that. Like, good on you, sir. Nice agent work right there. So when he goes in to interrupt his boss, that's kind of a critical thing too, because hey, Dottie, the Russian ballerina from the Red Room, is across the street. I swore she was gonna kill the scientist. And then it winds up that they're working together, and that's the moment I really tuned into the episode and I went, wait, what? What's going on? So cool what they do with her character. She's like she's a true Black Widow. It's fantastic. But anyway, ultimately they figure out that this is Peggy, and the best scene in the entire episode is when her and Jarvis meet up in the diner. And it's cool the way that they even did it sound-wise, where they like there's this hush that goes over the diner, and Peggy realizes she beats the crap out of like four agents in the diner. And escapes, and Thompson's waiting in the alley because he is smart enough to know that she's going to get away. And I love that he's like, yeah, they didn't think that you were going to be able to give them the slip. And I was like, well, they were wrong. That's like the best fight sequence I think they've done in the whole series. And I love them all, but it that was one was epic. Awesome. Especially the song that they put it to. It was great. But yeah, the whole episode was just really interesting. Like she gets away from them and you think that she's going to get away, and they ultimately do catch her because... of the wild card in the form of Dottie, which I did not see coming. When I saw her run into her in the hallway, I was like, oh, right. This can't be good. But I didn't see the whole interaction between them coming. So it was pretty brilliantly done, I think. I think it was pretty awesome. Yeah, so they ultimately have her in custody, and they have her chained to a table right now in the interrogation room, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, like she's not going to get out of that.
See if she can talk her way out of it. I know. I've already watched the... Okay, serious spoilers now, you guys. If you don't know what's going to happen next week, do you not want to know what's going to happen, or have you watched the sneak peeks? Okay. So there are two sneak peeks running around. One popped up on Wednesday, and it's her and Jarvis wind up in that room together. I don't know how that happens. And the two of them are going to break through the mirror with a table.
As you do.
And it's, but the comedic element is like rife in the entire thing. It's fantastic. We posted it on our blog, you guys. Go watch it. There was also a second one that was dropped that is, I don't know if it's the way they're going to actually film the interrogation or if it's just snippets that they took and put into a sneak peek. But all of the SSR agents, like her boss and then Thompson and Sousa, all come in to talk to her in the interrogation room when she's chained to the table. She's a smooth talker, that one. We already knew this. But I wanted, there's a point in the sneak peek where I yelled at my computer, slap him in the face. Because Thompson makes an assumption about her and Howard Stark's relationship. Which, my favorite line from this past week's episode... Peggy and Jarvis are going around trying to find all of the women that Howard Stark has slept with. P.S. Love that one of them was Ginger Rogers.
Duh.
I can't. But they're kind of at the end of it, and her and Jarvis are having a conversation, and Jarvis said something like, well, Mr. Stark has a predilection to ... And Peggy finishes the sentence with premature evacuation. I had to rewind because I missed what happened next. I was laughing so hard. Definitely one of my favorites. I just love this show. I think it's so smartly written. I love the costumes and the time period. And I think she's a great character to have on TV. I saw someone on Tumblr put up a post that was, it was a picture of Peggy and then a picture of Miley Cyrus. And the person, it was, I think it must have been a woman, who was like, I know which one I want my daughter to look up to, which do you? And I was like, that's my point exactly. This show, you can sit down with your family and watch this show on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, and everyone in the family gets something out of it. And honestly, I would want my daughter to look up to Peggy Carter before I would want her to look up to Miley Cyrus.
I mean, hold on though. That's setting the bar pretty low.
Oh, yeah. No, I think they were just trying.
Right, I know, but I mean,
reference.
Like, I would rather have a daughter look up to, I don't know, a paperclip than Miley Cyrus.
Oh, agreed. But I think she's a very important character for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think she's an important character for women right now. I love the show. From what I've been reading, the ratings went up a little bit this week. They went up to 1.4 this week. So whatever we're doing to promote it might be helping, or people are just, you know, rewatching in droves. I know I've rewatched a couple of the episodes a few times already. Yes, it's all me and you, Em. No, I don't mean us. I mean, I put out on Twitter that the ratings went up, and I called us, the fans, Carterettes. I don't know if there's a fandom name for Peggy Carter fans. I have no idea, for Agent Carter fans. That's my cute little one that I'm going to use for a little while.
Oh.
Carterettes. I think it works, and I really like it. So, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to think of it, A, and B, I'm sure there's already a fandom name because there's always a fandom name. There's always a fandom name. I had to explain fan fiction to someone the other day. And then I had to explain what a ship is.
I have on multiple occasions accidentally had to explain what a ship is. At work, to people.
It's always an interesting conversation because you think you're getting through to them and then they ask another question and you're like, yeah, you don't get it at all.
I think there was the time where I was reading something and totally with him and like the fourth episode. Oh, and it's gonna be called, like, the ship will be called this. Like, I already had a ship name for it because it just so perfectly led it to a ship name. Like, they're so setting this up, and the ship name's gonna be this. And someone just looked at me, the person I was working with looked at me and goes, what's a ship? And I went,
yeah.
About that.
But anyway, back to Peggy Carter. Obviously, you guys, we really love this show. We want you guys to watch it too. If you've given up on it, give it another shot. We are going to try to do a very special episode once it's over and chit-chat about it for a while. But in the meantime, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will come back on March 3rd. So we only have 2 more weeks left of Peggy, which makes me very sad, but very hopeful that we might get another series of it, maybe during the winter break.
I mean, that would be cool. They kept doing it during, like, in between.
It'd be a good in between, right? I think it, like, and we could wait that long.
And they wouldn't oversaturate us.
Not only, by that I mean, by we could wait that long, I don't mean just like the fandom would be patient enough to wait that long. I mean, like, it would also give the actors the chance to be like, okay, I know I have this booked a year in advance, but I'm going to do this and this and this beforehand. Right. You know what I mean? And Marvel's really cool, as we all know. And once you are a character in the Marvel universe, you pretty much stay that character in the Marvel universe. Yeah, you do. Well, you do. Especially if you look at the fact that we brought back Dominic Cooper as Howard Stark, and Hayley Atwell is still portraying Peggy Carter. You don't get out of it. You're stuck. Phil Coulson, ladies and gentlemen.
You never leave.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be an instance. If you were to die, there's no way for us to continue that. But I think I'm pretty sure you're given a clause in your contract. I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure when you walk in the door and you tell Marvel, like, yes, I will take this character, they give you a clause in your contract that says, if we ever need you in the future.
We can do about that. I lay my tables on the card with Bucky Barnes and Phil Coulson. Dying means nothing.
Oh, God, you win.
I forgot one example.
You win. Gin Rummy, ladies and gentlemen. Gin Rummy. M wins it. Bucky Barnes and Phil Coulson. You're right. I didn't even think about it.
Two names on the table, not just one.
You're right. You're like, I lay my cards in the table. You win. Oh, good Lord in heaven. Well, speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we've got some really fun news where that is concerned. In the returning episode on March 3rd, we are going to see a return of Jamie Alexander playing Lady Sif. I am stoked.
The Sif is back.
I love that character. I know. In that banging armor, which I have built in the past year. Mine didn't look that good, but it did its purpose. So, anywho. I didn't read very far into this. Does it say what it's so in this article it says Sif has no idea who Thor is or that she serves a king, and we're going to have fun with that. Dun dun dun.
Qua?
Shall be very interesting. I don't know, that's what the executive producer said. It'll give us some much-needed humor in a season that's been full of betrayal and death. Sif can't even recall who she came here from Asgard to stop, but Agent Coulson and his team will try to help her figure that all out. I'm intrigued. How does an Asgardian lose their memory?
Soap operas. That's how everyone loses their memory.
But no, really, it's true. This season has been really full of betrayal and death. And while there have been comedic moments, because Agent May still exists, and she has the best one-liners on the planet.
Best one-liner of the entire season goes to Phil Coulson when he's watching May and May fight, and he goes, why am I the only one seeing this?
See? Like that. And we all died laughing. Marvel, if they have anything, they have good comedic timing.
Brilliant.
I will watch anything that they produce, except Howard
the Duck. Why won't you watch Howard the Duck?
No, thank you.
Okay, I just feel if they can make you feel about a talking raccoon and a tree beast, we can work with a duck. I'm not saying the old one. Know. Please don't watch the old one. That was, you know, I never saw the end of that one.
I have. I don't remember the end of it.
Come to think of it, because I was so young, as soon as the government came to take him. Same thing with E.T. I've never seen the end. Blah, blah, blah. But
you're not missing much.
It was Howard the Duck, E.T., and I think Pinocchio were the three movies from my childhood that I never saw the end of because something happened and it freaked me out. And now you know that little tidbit about M, folks.
So anywho, yes. On March 3rd, we will have a Sif-centric episode, which I'm all for. I love that they're bringing people in from the movies that we know and all that stuff. We've said this in the past, that it's neat how they're tying in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, you know who I'd really like them to bring in? Darcy. Come on, she'd be sass-tastic.
She'd be awesome.
Yes.
Jennings, right? Dennings.
I mean, we can steal her away from the Broke Girls for a little bit just to go and, you know, film a guest up.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they film in L.A. too. Why not? So yeah, that'll be back on March 3rd. We're excited. And like I keep saying, while I am very excited to have S.H.I.E.L.D. back, I'm definitely going to miss Agent Carter. So I'll probably be watching it on repeat.
I feel like that's all you're going to watch. Kate, did you watch this week's episodes to talk about stuff?
Well,
no, but I watched Agent Carter again. Great, Kate. Great.
Shut up. Hey, research. It's research.
Okay.
I can't pull that anymore. I can't. I used to be able to pull it in college if I was if I didn't do homework because I was watching movies. Usually classic movies, because I was really into black and white films in college. I could call it research because I was a costume design major. I can't call this research, I don't think. I don't think I can get away with
it. I'm going to go with no, but we love
it. Anyway, moving on.
Let's speak. We only have one little bit of news on Flash, right?
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting news.
So speaking of all the death and gloom on The Walking Dead, another character I was not so emotionally wrecked by their death.
I wasn't emotionally wrecked by her death. Surprised.
I'm surprised.
No, I was surprised by her death. I was not emotionally wrecked.
No, I'm surprised you weren't emotionally wrecked.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, Emily Kinney is going to be on
AKA
The Flash.
Beth.
Yes, otherwise known as Beth, is going to be on The Flash playing who? I don't really know. I haven't paid attention to The Flash. I haven't caught up on it yet, so I'm not quite sure where she fits into
the
universe.
She will be playing the villain.
Ah, ooh, that'll be fun. All these people that are going to be playing villains in upcoming TV, it's fantastic.
I know, and let's be honest, playing a villain is the best role to play.
I agree. So when is that coming? When does she make her debut?
I'm looking for the exact date. I don't know that we have an exact date. In episode 4 of Flash, blah, 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 when Felicity came by. Yeah, no, I don't know if we have an exact date on this. Okay. Appear in episode 118.
But it's going to happen.
In the show titled All-Star Team-Up. Which will also feature a crossover with Arrow as Felicity Smoke and Ray Palmer travel to Starling City. Travel from Starling City to Central City, So Ray can get some help on his Atom suit from Star Labs.
Why not? Could they talk to him about the face shield?
I mean,
that'd be awesome.
I just don't like the idea of Ray and Felicity going around places together. That's a thing. People ship it. People are wrong.
A lot of ships that are shipped are wrong.
I mean, everyone that... Guys,
I'm not gonna.
Entitled
I'm
to
not getting on that
opinion.
Soapbox. Agreed.
Whomever you
but some
want,
of you are wrong.
Just know you're also allowed to be wrong.
There are some that I run into on a daily basis on Tumblr, and I just go, no.
Well, see, my whole thing is with some things, I don't technically ship it myself, but I understand where the ship comes from. Mm-hmm. Others, I just go, where did you get this?
From a dream. So anyway, moving on, we do have some Woo-hoo! Film news. I read this before that potentially they are going to have Angelina Jolie direct Captain Marvel.
I have mixed feelings on this.
Which, yeah, I do too, which is why I kind of didn't comment on it and it hasn't been like posted on our Twitter and all that.
I said, here's the skinny. Now, she does know about female action flicks because, let's face it, she was Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider,
she's done a ton of other action flicks and stuff. Well, some of, not so much. So she does sort of have that background. I personally don't care for her that much, though.
I don't care for her as an actress. I haven't watched Unbroken yet, but I've heard things about her directing ability. And not only that, it would be a very good step in the right direction in terms of women in the film industry.
There is that.
I think we all have mixed feelings whenever a director is announced. Like when they announced that J.J. Abrams wouldn't be doing the third Star Trek movie, we all kind of went, oh crap. And then they announced a director and he reneged. And then they announced another one and we all went, oh no. But I mean, if Marvel's willing to take the chance on her.
I mean, okay. I put my trust in Marvel. In Marvel, we trust.
In Marvel, we trust.
Speaking of Marvel.
Yes.
Continuing on, someone's joining the MCU.
You were very excited about this.
Very excited about this. So, because here are my thoughts. So, for those of you who don't know, Marvel and Sony have come to an agreement in which they will allow... Sony will allow Marvel essentially to borrow Spider-Man so he can be part of the MCU, and then they get to go off and make their own film about him, their own Spider-Man film again, because they will still have the rights and blah, blah, blah. Basically, they're just doing this because they know they suck and Marvel is awesome, and therefore they're basically getting free publicity here and such. But also, it has been said that Spider-Man is returning. It has been said Peter Parker is returning, and also I do believe that Andrew Garfield isn't returning. So I'm just saying, maybe we do a little Miles Morales, and then we can have Donald Glover play him, and that would be awesome, because basically the character of Miles Morales is kind of loosely based off Donald Glover anyway. And he did voice him in one of the animated things, so I say we roll with that.
This is hilarious, because it's actually come up in conversation, and I am not a Spider-Man fan. At all. And it's got nothing to do with the films. It's got nothing to do with the comics. It's just not a superhero that I
gravitate towards.
That I don't know. I don't gravitate towards him at all. So I had three different people ask me what is going on with this.
Here's the brilliant thing. If they're willing to do this with Spider-Man, perhaps for the greater good, they will be willing to do it with other characters. And by other characters, I mean Gambit and Rogue. So we finally get a decent Rogue who wasn't just a plot point in one movie and then useless in two others. Still bitter. Still so bitter. They ruined that character.
You know, that's Fox's fault.
But I'm saying, if Sony has this brilliant idea, perhaps Fox will be like, hey, this worked for them. Maybe
it'll don't count
I'm
on
not
it.
Saying it's gonna happen. I'm saying it's closer to being a possibility than it was 2 weeks ago.
I'll give you that.
Continue on your Spider-Man track. Sorry. Hashtag still better.
All I was gonna say was that I've been asked about this a couple of times, and the one person who asked me freaked out over the casting issue and how that they're going to recast it and blah blah blah. And I calmly had to explain to him, well, because this is how it goes in Marvel. Once you are cast in the Marvel universe, you're usually stuck with it. And he's like, yes, but, and he went into this whole thing about how, I don't know who, I forget who, was perfect
Andrew
for the
Garfield?
Role, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, I don't think so. But I was like, I'm going to take your word for it because I haven't
Toby
seen a
Maguire?
Spider-Man film since the first one. No, I don't remember which one he mentioned. So more power to them. I'm glad to see him home in the Marvel universe. Maybe they are going to make a halfway decent Spider-Man film.
You know what? The first one, the first revisioning after the Maguire was the first Andrew Garfield one. Wasn't bad. I didn't dislike it. I found it kind of enjoyable. I didn't like that they changed some of the backstory because that annoys the hell out of me. I have issues. But aside from that, you know, Andrew Garfield was pretty good. And let's face it, Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy was the best thing about those two movies.
Emma Stone, yeah. She's I liked her.
But she's my spirit animal, so I'm kind of biased. She's one of my spirit
animals. So, yeah, I mean, I don't feel one way or the other about it. Like, Welcome Home, Spidey. Or I'm not upset about anything because, I don't know, it's just not my thing. But I probably will wind up seeing whatever film they come up with just out of curiosity.
As you do.
But in other fun news, Deadpool news.
Deadpool.
We've got Deadpool news. They actually, I know we've got another bit of news, but today they just released a little bit of casting information. I think it was today. For one of their villains in the movie. And what makes me so happy is that the first villain that they announced is a woman.
Woohoo! Well, let's be honest. A female villain is not that odd.
No, but I just like that the first one that they announced was a woman.
True.
So The Hollywood Reporter put this up, I believe, yesterday. Yeah, they put it up yesterday. That Gina, I think her last name is Carano, is how you say it.
She was in True Beverly Hills, right?
I have no idea.
Am I making this up? I'm going to go look this up. You discuss
go IMDb this. That. You discuss Don't go this. IMDb that.
Oh, yeah.
So she is going to be playing a female villain called Angel Dust.
Your whole name just makes me so happy.
Right? But she's also a Morlock, which is even cooler. So she's like an underground-dwelling mutant. That's all the information that we have so far. I'm sure I could go and wiki this character and find out more about her. But that alone makes me go, okay, now I'm curious. We have no idea how she's working into the movie, what her interaction with Deadpool is going to be like, none of that. But we know that we have her.
But I just want to point out, now you're excited for the movie?
No. I was before.
Good.
Of course I was. Ugh, come on, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
I mean,
we have been excited about this movie since the leaked footage.
Oh, I've been excited about this movie since the Cruddy Wolverine movie. Not the one that we saw together, the original Cruddy Wolverine movie.
The Cruddy Wolverine movie.
The one that killed Gambit, because Fox does not know how to handle any of my favorite characters.
Well, the other little bit of interesting as well is that Colossus is also slated to be in this movie. So it shall be very interesting. Very, very interesting. I mean, I was already excited for this film, but now I'm even more excited. The more news we get about films, you know how we are, guys. We were skeptical about Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they released some news, and we went, okay.
Every piece of news they announced about that movie just made me more and more excited.
I know, and we freaking loved it. So,
Speaking of, like, non-news news releases for Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds decided to tease part of the costume.
Turd.
No turd, I got giddy.
I know. In your note to me, you put squeal.
I believe the exact thing I wrote was Ryan Reynolds teases Deadpool costume causing M to squeal in delight. Sometimes I say that to myself. So anyway, he tweeted a photo of him. There's the hands and part of the mask, and it's in sepia tone to disguise the fact that it's all in ballerina pink right now.
It literally comes out in a year, this movie.
Yes.
A year from now, we will have seen
365
Deadpool.
Days from April, from February 12th.
February 12th.
I will be there opening day.
Whoop. Yeah, we're going to try to see it opening night.
No, you're going to try to see it opening night. I will see it opening night.
Okay, I will try.
Just like I am 99% sure I will be seeing The Duff opening night. I don't know who's going with me.
Not me.
But I will be duffing. I'm probably going to end up dragging someone. One more bit of film news, which is what I like to call the Spidey effect.
Yeah.
So, originally, Spider-Man, from Sony was going to go up against one of Marvel's movies same weekend. But now, see how brilliantly this is working out for them since they have come to terms with Marvel. Marvel is pushing back one of their movies in order to accommodate the Spidey movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pushing back Thor, which has a bit of a domino effect because now we're going to have to wait for Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Inhumans. However, the Avenger Affinity Wars Part 1 and Part 2 are keeping their dates.
So a little bit of a change in plans, which Marvel doesn't usually do. So, but they're at the stage where they can do this safely. They haven't started production or anything.
Right.
So it was smart of them to do it now, and it's even smarter of them to, with this partnership with Sony, be like, and this is how we do it, guys.
But see, I'm just saying, this is becoming really beneficial for Sony, so maybe Fox will be watching and be like, you know what? Maybe we should get in on this too. Because I want to live in a world where characters are used for the good of the movie and not just because studios are stupid and need them to make money. I know this world will not exist in my lifetime.
That's the dream.
I know this world will not exist in my lifetime, but I look forward to it for my children's 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 children.
We'll see. Cross your fingers.
Toes too.
And toes, if you can.
So comic books this week. What came out this week that made you uber excited?
Thor number 5.
Why do I ask?
Why do you ask?
All right, well, this week for me, I have to say, a shocker, Harley Quinn Valentine's Day issue.
Okay.
Hold on, it was super cute. Some, like, Wall Street millionaire, sort of like a Bernie Madoff type deal. Asked him to get enough money to go to a charity auction and win a date with Bruce Wayne. Because she finds out he's holding a charity auction and the money's going to go to help animals, like an animal shelter. And she, at this point, has like a ton of dogs and cats. I forget how she got them. She got them from like a shelter, I think, because they were going to kill them all. So she saved them.
Okay.
So she goes to the auction and she wins a date with Bruce Wayne. And then in the middle of like the auction, he gets kidnapped by, you know, some... not even like a real villain. It was some not vigilante, someone who's trying to raise money for fish. I don't know. Weird. He's called the Carp. And I think his sidekick is like Undersea Robin or something to that effect. And they're like real ghetto. Like they had to order an Uber to come get them. Like that kind of thing. And he wants the money. He wants to like rob everyone for money for like a fish sanctuary. And so it's really cute because Harley's like telling Bruce, like, I got this. I'll protect you. Not knowing that it's Batman. So it's really cute. And then Batman shows up and whatnot. And now, needless to say, I kind of ship Harley Quinn with Bruce Wayne. Not with Batman, but with Bruce Wayne. I was like, they go out on a date. It's adorable, guys. Pick up the issue.
It sounds very cute.
Adorbs. Well, as for next week...
do I have to tell you?
I mean,
it's kind of obvious. You don't have Bitch to tell Planet me. Number 3 comes out next week.
I was like, you don't have to tell me, but perhaps you can tell
but perhaps episode. Our listeners. Yeah, Bitch Planet number 3 for sure.
I got two.
Oh.
First one being Silver Surfer issue 9.
Mhm.
Cuz I love me some Dan Slott. And I actually
Dan Slott's
they've got a really cool plot line going on right now. So if you guys aren't reading, you should totally pick it up. And the other one I'm kind of jonesing on, it's the last issue of She-Hulk.
Aww.
Which I'm super sad. I'm not caught up with my issue 11.
That's a bummer.
I know. But I will pick it up, and I'm super sad. They're supposed to, like, wrap up the whole plot line. I'm just really upset in general that this book is ending, because I really liked it.
Yeah, I know. You were bummed when you found out they were canceling it.
I was so upset. I'm still so upset. Like, I really liked the way this was going. I liked the whole thing. The artwork was really cool. And I've been, like, I picked this up the first week it came out. So I've been with it from issue 1. And I was like, there's only been 12 issues, which just seems far. So I'm a little bit sad about that. But you know, be strong, folks.
Other things will come down the pike. We have an all-female Avengers coming out.
This is true. And I mean, I'm only okay because I need to, you know, my obsession with comics has gotten a little out of control. I need to scale, so that'll be one less book I'm picking up.
Until you find another one.
Hey, I'm trying to be good. The new ones I pick up, I'm trying to make sure they're only, like, limited runs.
That's so hard.
Instead of committing to, like, a huge thing, I'm like, oh, this is only 4 issues. This is only 4 issues. Lady Killers. But
I still need to get issue one.
I can handle it. Issue one, the reprint comes out this week, I believe.
Okay.
I believe it is this week.
I'm pretty sure I added it to my subscriptions list, so it'll probably wind up in my box. I hope.
Oh, I'm such a... I have the mind of a 12-year-old. I'm 12-year-old boy, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're allowed. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I was going to say, I think that's about all the time we've got for today. Sadly.
Oh, I do just want to say one thing.
Shoot.
We'll put up some other cool stuff on the breakdown that we didn't get to talk to about tonight. But I did want to say, last week I had talked about the hashtag SPNFit campaign to raise money for Random Acts. And their shirt campaign ended this week, and they raised 276 and some change for charity. So
cool.
The campaign only ran a week, so that's actually pretty cool, guys.
That's pretty awesome.
So thanks for anyone who was listening who went out and bought the shirt, because they're super awesome and I can't wait to get mine.
You'll have to post a picture when you get
it. Oh, you know it is happening.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, you guys. This has been a fun episode. Next week we'll be back with more TV talk and all sorts of other stuff to talk about, I'm sure, because lots of stuff's been going down lately.
It's the Toy Fair this week, so...
I know, the Toy Fair.
There will be things discussed.
There's been some stuff coming out on Tumblr and on social media that I'm just going, oh, no, I want that. This is not good. So, you know, my birthday is only 8 months away. Hint.
Anyway. Oh, okay.
So anyway, until next week, if you guys have any questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, you can email us at itsallgeektomeradio@gmail.com. You can also check out our blog, itsallgeektomeradio.com, which, that's awesome. And head on over to Twitter and follow us over there, allgeek2, the number 2, me, radio. Shout out and tell us what you think. And until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a great week of geek.
Thank you.